Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Again,
here we go.
Hello,
look who's finally back
again.
What you guys haven't seen, she's been back like four times.
Yeah. I literally have been back for
at least like three,
at least three. But
every time she comes over, something goes haywire. So if it does it again, we know it's you, because me and Josh recorded and it was fine.
I guess I'm just bad luck, y'all.
She's possessed. She's a demon.
No pun intended. Oh my gosh.
So here we are recording. We got our drinks.
We do got our drinks.
I'm gonna put you guys on something, okay? Not sponsored. But these drinks are so good.
They're mid.
They're called mom waters. She don't understand because she's not a mom. She's not a mom. So they're zero sugar. Zero carbs. And I can't see because the ring light's in my face. But they're really good. No carbonation. But they're good.
And my drink cozy says, pairs well with freshly signed divorce papers.
That's from Aaron's divorce party. Shout out to Aaron Jones. Hey, girl.
Hey.
So, yeah. So we're just doing the thing. I think after this, we're going to play some games.
Yes.
So we're going to have some fun tonight. Have some sister time with Elizabeth.
Yes, she's in the living room right now, so.
She's too cool to hang out with us.
Shout out to Lizzie.
Gordon. So, I guess, what else do we need to cover? Do you have any shout outs?
I haven't really been checking the social media pages, just, I know people who have been watching, so, I know my friend Dakota, if you're watching, she's been listening to it quite a bit.
Shout out, girl.
Shout out to Dakota Mir.
Like, I've noticed that the same people are, which is great. I'm glad we have some devoted listeners. We've got like Mickey Parker, Tessa, you know, all the OGs, Robin. What's weird is so on the analytics part, I can kind of see, it doesn't tell me who's listening, but it tells me where they're from. And we have somebody in Washburn, Virginia that listens every week. And they're one of the first listeners every week. So whoever you are, send me a message, because curiosity's got me. I want to know who you are so I can shout you out. So,
and how you heard about
us. Yeah, how'd you hear about us?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody from Virginia.
So. I don't think I do either. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
What else have you been up to?
We just got that couch moved in. So yeah. That was good.
Yeah, if you notice, we have new chairs.
Yeah, so I got the old couch that we had in here for my apartment.
Yes, girl.
And not much, just been working. It's really it. I deep cleaned my apartment, so.
That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
It was so bad. Like, the people that lived there before us, I'm pretty sure they were smoking in the house, like cigarettes and stuff. Whatever, but they did not clean the walls properly whenever they moved out. So
we could, like nicotine stains?
Yes. Ugh. We wiped it with like a magic eraser and you could see like a clean spot from it. And
I think ammonia takes it out too, if I'm not mistaken. So let me try that, if that magic eraser doesn't.
Maybe.
That's the hardest thing to get rid of. Like the smell, the stains, everything.
Yes.
It's so hard. We've just been balling. Jackson started football. May got picked up on a travel team. She really loves her rec team, so she wanted to play with them. So normally we only let the kids do one sport at a time, but because she loves that team so much, we're like, okay, we'll figure it out. So we've just been balling every night, every day.
Period.
And then Josh and I are fixing to go on vacation with the kids. We're going.
And I'm not invited.
She's excluded because she's my little broke best friend, so. But I think we're going to do a ghost tour while we're there. And so I'll hopefully get some stories and maybe some video. We'll see. I don't know how much I want to put the kids online because people are weird. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's different putting it on my personal page where it's set up as private, but putting it on a public. But we'll see. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Maybe just heart their faces out. That's what most people do with their kids.
Or just be like, you're not allowed in this video.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Karens? I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, I think we're going to do a ghost tour and do some hiking and stuff while we're in Alabama. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah. If y'all have any suggestions, we're going to be in the Prattville area when we go. So send us our recommendations. I've got one guy that I work with. He actually lives in Alabama, and I told him to tell me the good ones, like to go visit, go see. So
I think around Halloween time, we should go to San Antonio.
Oh, that would be fun. Or New Orleans.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, the kids, to engage the kids, too, because they would probably think it's boring. Six Flags is there.
Yeah.
While we're going on our ghost tours, they could go to Six Flags or something.
Well, I think it's Fiesta.
Same thing. They still got rides.
Y'all. Yeah, that's true. We do have season. I keep saying every year that we're going to go do the haunted houses at Six Flags every year because we have the season passes. But the season passes that we have, I think we get a discount on the haunted houses. We just haven't done it yet because every time we go to Six Flags, we take Jackson, and I don't think he's ready
for that.
Yeah, we talked about maybe taking him to his first haunted house this year because the girls, both of them, when they turned 10, that was what they wanted to do because their birthdays are in October, and both of them, when they turned 10, that's what they wanted to do. They want to go to their first haunted house, and of course Jackson just turned 10, so we talked about maybe seeing if he wants to, but he's a little bit more sensitive, I guess, than the girls.
Yeah, he'd rather go watch like monster trucks or dirt bikes or something.
he's just a baby, so it's a little different. But other than that, you guys are killing it on our socials. Our TikTok following's growing.
Okay,
girl.
TikTok.
Okay.
You're listening from TikTok.
Yes. I don't know if they're actually listening, but at least our TikTok presence is growing. Facebook's still growing. We're still getting follows there and comments.
As it gets closer to Halloween, we're probably going to be discussing whether or not we're going to be doing like the boo baskets. So
yeah,
if y'all think we should. Comment down below.
If you're interested, let us know. If we thought about maybe doing like an exchange where everybody signs up and like everybody gets a partner and you exchange with them, or we really need to like nail it down and figure it out because it's coming.
Like a Secret Santa, but make it Halloween, basically.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I've done that with one of my cricket groups. They do that every year, and it is so much fun. So if that's something you guys would be interested in, definitely let us know. We can set it up and do a boo basket exchange. That'd be fun.
And because we are so, like, at the beginning, even if they wanted to, we could make a group chat where we all just talk about true crime. If y'all want us to hit on something, you know?
Yeah, I thought about making an actual Facebook group instead of just a Facebook page just for discussions and talking about stuff.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, so I think that's some stuff that we can do. But other than that, just keep sharing our name, guys. Like, that's the only way we can get our name out there. And we appreciate all of it. Subscribe, share. Give us 5-star ratings. That's a huge thing. Any platform that you listen to, if you can rate us on that, again, it just helps push it out to where we don't have to pay to push out our name. And we really don't want to do that anyways. We want our listeners to be there because they want to and they're interested in what we're talking about. So definitely share anything you can. We really appreciate it. So
I know it's like kind of a long intro right now, but also another thing to hit on, like what we were talking about, what we've been talking about, like even if this doesn't blow up, like we still enjoy the people that are listening now.
Like, yeah. You know, the community that we're building.
Yeah, the community that we're building has been great, so.
And it's been fun, just as far as, like, a family standpoint. Like, sharing the story with you and, like,
Seth. Getting to meet up every week and stay in touch.
It makes us make that time. Like, Seth came over earlier today. He was going to record an episode with us to get ahead since we are going on vacation. But little Miss Hadley got a little fussy, so.
Just a wee bit. So shout out to Hadley. Hopefully she's down for her nap right now.
Yeah, and she's not happy. So I think he's going to come back so we can do his. And he's actually bringing me the story. So I don't even have to do any research, which is great. I'm all for that. So it takes a while to research. But I think that's about it. I guess we can dive in, which you've heard this story once before. But I'm going to be honest. Some girl was super tired that night and was over here nodding off. So.
Okay, yeah. I remember kind of bits and pieces of the story, not a lot. That was pretty sure like on a Wednesday night. I was very tired. I had worked overnight, so.
Maybe she'll stay awake this time.
I'm definitely more awake this time.
So we are going to talk about Summer Wells.
Okay.
Summer Wells was a 5-year-old little girl. She went missing on June 15th in 2021 in Rogersville, Tennessee. So very recent. Very recent. I think this is the most recent case that we've done so far.
So about 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait.
Because it was June.
Is it 2025 now? Yeah. Okay. Just kidding, guys.
OMG. Yeah.
So, Rogersville is a little town located in Hocking County in northeast Tennessee. It's part of the Appalachian Highlands. Rogersville was founded in 1775 and was established by the grandparents of Davy Crockett. Isn't Davy Crockett the one that wore, like, the hat?
I don't remember. I only remember Johnny Appleseed.
That's who I thought. I know it's not Johnny Appleseed.
Wear the pot on his head.
I don't think that's him. Didn't Davy Crockett wear like a raccoon hat or something?
Yes. Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, the raccoon tail hat. I know what you're talking about.
We're going to have to look and see who Davy Crockett is. I know he's important, but I don't remember what it was.
Just remember Johnny Appleseed.
Check that. Okay, so Johnny Appleseed's grandparents. So it makes it one of the oldest settlements of the state. As of 2023, Rogersville has a population of approximately 4,300 people. The physical size of the town is only about 3.5 square miles, so not very big at all.
That's a lot of people for that many miles.
Rogersville is a small, tight-knit town, the kind where everybody knows everybody, which we live in a town like that. It is so small. And I use that to my advantage with my kids. I'm always like, whatever you do in public, it gets reported back to me. Just remember
that. Shout out small towns.
Small town. Small town. In 2023, there was a total of 143 reported crimes. Most of the crimes are reported as larceny and theft, accounting for a total of 94. A total of 24 burglaries and 9 auto thefts for that year. There were 13 reports of assault. I looked to see what the crime rates were in 2021 when Summer went missing. There were a total of 10 violent crimes, 7 aggravated assaults, 2 robberies, and 1 reported rape and 0 murders. I was just kind of curious as what it was back then. Summer's home was in a very rural part of the town. It was located off Ben Hill Road, surrounded by farmland, dense woods, hills, and mountains. She lived with her mother, Candace, father, Don, who worked as a drywall installer, and her 3 older brothers. So 6 people total.
Dang. That's a lot.
That's a lot of people. And we have 5. I added one more. Well, we always have an extra person, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The kids always have, like, right now I have 2 extra, not including Tori and Elizabeth and Garrett. I have 2 extra kids at my house right now.
Yeah.
Our house has always got people in it. They had a small 780 square foot house, which is about the size of an apartment or a 2-car garage. So 6 people living in this tiny house.
How many square feet?
780 square feet.
That's smaller than our apartment.
Oh, really?
Ours is like 1,000 square feet.
So imagine six people living in your apartment and then take away some of that. Hell no. Summer shared a room with her parents in the basement. There were only two access points to the basement. One was a small crawl space that was in the living room under a small desk. The other was a door that leads to the outside of the house. There were no windows in the basement / bedroom. And the house was actually located on an 11-acre lot. So that's kind of strange to me that there's just a small crawl space to the basement, I guess, because it was originally in a basement. We lived in a house in Oklahoma that the basement was literally like a door that you would open up, and it was in Garrett's room, and it would open up, and there were stairs that went down to the basement, and you would close it. I think it was spooky as hell, too.
Y'all had a basement?
In Oklahoma? Yeah. Tornadoes, girl. The naders are gonna get you. It always smelled so musty down there because it was always, I hate basements. There were a few small buildings located on the property along with a camper that Summer's maternal grandmother, also named Candace, lived in. So you have Candace the mom, Candace the grandma that lived in the camper, and then you have the dad and all the kids. In the yard, the house was littered with trash and junk. So I've seen some videos, and again, just that it's a small house with six people living in it. So, like, there was just stuff kind of stacked up. I'm not going to say necessarily trash, but there was just a lot of stuff that was stacked up everywhere in that house. But again, you got six people living in there, so how else would it be?
There's a lot of not a lot of storage space.
No, it wasn't very organized. It was very chaotic. I think chaotic would be a good word. Summer was known to be a happy, energetic girl. Her parents described her as the boss of the family and didn't let her age slow her down. She kept up with her older brothers. She loved to play princesses, but also loved to get down and dirty with the boys. She loved the movie Frozen and pretended to be Elsa. Which every girl at that time did, I think.
Yeah, I remember Mom having to take the DVD away from me.
No, girl, yours was Tinkerbell.
Oh, yeah. Mine was Tinkerbell.
Girl, she had a Tinkerbell bedroom. And then when you watched Hannah Montana and Dad's like, I don't, and all that stuff came when she started being Miley instead of Hannah, and your dad was like, no more. In most of the pictures, she had beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, and she really was just like a pretty little girl. Those are often the pictures they used in the missing person posters. However, close to the time that she was reported missing, a photo was taken showing Summer with a shaved head.
What?
Many people speculated on why she was pictured with a shaved head. So one thing with this case is the rumor mill that just took off with this case. Everybody was speculating and starting rumors online, and we'll get into it, but anything that was posted, they would just latch onto it, and the armchair detectives would just go at it.
Like little leeches, like.
Yeah. Many people speculated on why she was pictured with a shaved head. Both parents ended up having to speak out about it. Candace claimed that Summer shaved her own head so she could look like Mom and her brothers, because her brothers had shaved heads and her mom had shorter hair. Dawn said that she had cut her own hair, which is kind of what Candace said, and they tried to go back over it to correct it the best they could. In a TikTok video on March 17th, 2021, you could see the back and sides of her hair where they did shave it, but try to cut the top to make it look a little bit better.
Even.
But her dad said that it still didn't look quite right, so they ended up basically having to shave it all for her. On March, and that's another thing that's crazy, is because this is so recent, there are TikTok videos of this girl, there are TikTok videos of the family, and you kind of get that glimpse, and to me, that's almost, it's chilling,
because. Yeah, because it's so recent, like, TikTok is an app during this time.
Yeah. On March 24th, they posted another TikTok video showing them to have visited Utah, where Dawn had lived previously. A bunch of clips of the kids in scenic pictures. On the 25th, they posted about their dog, who had just had puppies. on the 31st, there was another post of the kids, like, at different ages, almost like a flashback, I guess, just kind of reminiscing.
Yeah.
Summer was in front and center of that video with a lot of pictures of her hair being long with bows and looking like a happy kid. Even though times were hard for the family, they looked like they were trying to make the most of it. The music to the video was Don't Blink. Many other posts were made of the kids playing in the yard, riding their bikes. One was of Summer playing in a pool with the Taylor Swift song Never Grow Up.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Swiftie for life. Pure. We're Swifties. We love Taylor Swift. 4 days before Summer went missing, on June 11th, Candace posted another video of the kids playing on a slip and slide. So again, it's almost like just a timeline of these kids growing up and being a family. And it's just so chilling seeing all that before tragedy strikes, basically.
Yeah.
Because I will say this right now, we still don't know where Summer is. We still don't know what happened to Summer.
So weird.
Like,
things could be so normal.
Yes. And I think that's what's chilling is you do see the pictures of them just being a family. And she's gone and you have no clue. The kids looked to be having the time of their lives. 2 days before she went missing, it was stormy in the area. And Candace posted a video that looked like a dark sky with thunder and lightning going off in the back. Again, just so trivial. Just, hey, it's storming, check out my video. And then just days later, tragedy. The final video that was posted of Summer was on June 15th, 2021, the day she disappeared. It showed Summer swimming in what looks like a pond in Warriors Path State Park that wasn't far from their home. A teenage boy was also seen in the video. According to Candace, earlier that day, she had taken her mother to the ER to get her knee checked out. That had been giving her trouble. Summer went with them. They dropped off Candace's mother at the ER. They then went to a friend's house to wait in a more comfortable environment. Grandma was ready to be picked up from the hospital, and the friend's 14-year-old son wanted to go with them to get out of the house. And I read somewhere where that friend had family over, and I guess the 14-year-old, you know how it is when a bunch of people are at your house and maybe you don't really care for some of them, or it's just
overstimulating.
Yeah, and so he asked if he could go with them, and she said, yeah, that's fine.
Which one are you drinking?
I don't remember. Strawberry kiwi, maybe? Yeah, strawberry kiwi.
Have you tried Kathy?
I haven't tried Kathy yet. I think it's funny that they have their own names.
Try Kathy. It's really good. I just tried that for the first time. Mm.
Yeah. Kathy be good.
Kathy be good.
Okay.
Not sponsored.
Sponsored.
Anyways. He was just overstimulated, wanted to get out of the house.
Yeah, he wanted to go with them. They all went and picked her up and then stopped at Walgreens to drop off the prescription that Grandma had received. The pharmacy told Candace it would be about 30 minutes before it was ready to be picked up, so they decided to stop at the pond that was the video of them swimming while they waited for the medicine. They just wanted to cool off, let the kid burn off some energy. It's better than just sitting in a hot truck.
So did they already have, like, their bathing suits? Were they planning on going to this pond?
No bathing suit. They weren't planning on going. This was kind of like a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Okay.
They swam for a short while and then went to pick up the prescription and ran into one store to buy a few groceries before dropping the boy back off at his house and returning to their own home. Candace happened to take a video of Summer in a pink top, her shaved haircut, and she was sleeping against some groceries that they picked up. It was like 2 gallons of milk or something like that. And a rumor had started that Summer had slipped and fell while they were at the pond and went underwater for about 20 seconds. The way this rumor started, allegedly, the 14-year-old boy that was with them had stated this, that Summer had fallen while they were at the pond and fell underwater for like 20 seconds before she came back up. And that's kind of where, I guess, supposedly this rumor. Now, I haven't seen that it's verified, but that's the rumor. That's where that rumor came from. I think I said that wrong, but we'll just
continue on.
Continue on. However, Candace disputes this rumor, saying the pond they were in was only waist deep. She says that if Summer would have slipped and fell, she would have just stood back up. Looking at the video that was posted while they were there, it does look like it is a shallow body of water. Summer can be seen looking very comfortable. She's just jumping, splashing. She never looks to be more than waist deep in the water. So it does make sense that if Summer would have slipped, she could have just stood up like the mother said, and it wasn't an issue.
And also rumors and things like this get way...
Yeah. Yeah. There were other conflicting details, though, between the boy and Candace from that day. He mentioned that Candace was in the store for close to an hour picking up the groceries. But Candace said she was only in there for just a few minutes, basically just long enough to grab milk and cheese. And in that video, Summer is laying against 2 gallons of milk. There are also claims, which it makes me wonder, why didn't they just check the videos, the surveillance videos of the store and see how long she was in there? And maybe they did, but or it
traffic
was...
traffic cams?
Yeah.
Anything.
Well, they do eventually look at some stuff like that, but to me... if she was in there longer than a few minutes and over an hour and the police saw that, why wouldn't they release that? Or if she wasn't in there longer than an hour and she was only in there for a few minutes, again, why didn't the police just release that and say, hey, this is a rumor. She was only in there for a few minutes. Step off. She's, you know, it's all good. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes from, is the police don't really confirm a whole lot in this story. They just, the rumors start and they don't really...
Well, they probably don't want to get involved in public, like, media. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Because all of this is coming from media, not like a police tip or something.
But still, you would think they would want to confirm and be like, hey, step off this mom. She just lost her child. She was only in there for a few minutes. This is just a story. I don't know. It's just strange. And I think that's where a lot of the rumors come from, is because the police just aren't confirming or denying anything.
But most of the time, in a lot of cases, police do that.
Yeah.
Even till the very end, when the case has been cold for like 20 years, you know, they will be like, I can't confirm or deny.
It kind of reminds me of the Delphi murders, because, you know, the guy, it was the two girls that went out for a walk on the bridge, and they released a picture of a guy on the bridge. They said, this is the suspect. Then they released a little bit of the video.
Yeah, but
they
still didn't release
his name. Until he was caught, basically. Which, have you been watching the Idaho murders or whatever, of those four people in the house?
Oh, yeah, Brian Colbert.
Yes.
I was so consumed with that when it first started, because no one knew who it was yet.
Yes, and then I watched the sister's statement to him, and I'm just like, yes, girl.
She would have fucking kicked your ass.
Yeah, yes, girl, that is such older sister energy.
Mm-hmm.
There were also claims that Candace let the boy have a twisted tee while they were swimming and a few
sounds
hits.
Sounds like someone.
You. And a few hits off her vape. Many people have speculated that Summer was actually already dead in that last video of her in the car leaning against the milk. It is.
How and why would she be like?
If she fell at the lake and swallowed too much water. There's also dry drowning, to where the drowning doesn't occur till later. So you fall in, you suck enough water in there. Yeah, you come out and you're fine. And then the kids pass away hours later because there's so much fluid in their lungs.
For real?
Yeah, look it up. Dry drowning. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Many people have speculated that Summer was... Oh, no, already read that. It is worth noting that in the video of Summer sleeping, Candace pans back to Summer, resting on the groceries. Candace says, does she still have her arm up? And the grandmother says, no. And Candace says, oh, that's what I was trying to catch. The video then pans back from the back of the car to the front and ends. Another strange thing to know is that it was 90 degrees that day. In the video, Summer showing wearing a long jacket and pants. So it's 90 degrees that day. They went swimming and she's in like a light jacket and jeans. So that's just a little Just
so did she swim in that?
I'm not sure of. I'd have to go back and look at the video because I don't remember what she was wearing when she was swimming.
But again, it also could have been one of those things. Like, I know in a lot of moms' cars, like, they just have
random extra clothes. That's very true. Or even kids. Like, Jackson will come out wearing a hoodie and jeans. I'm like, bro, it's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And it's just not worth the fight. You just let them wear whatever they want. But it is strange, though, that she is wearing those clothes on a hot day.
And how hot was it?
90 degrees.
That is very hot to be wearing that.
Yeah. When they returned home, their brothers were sitting around watching YouTube. Grandma said she wanted to do some gardening outside her camper. So Candace, Summer, and the grandma went outside to work in the garden for about 30 minutes. Once they finished, they went to Grandma's camper, and Summer asked for a piece of candy. Summer then wanted to join her brothers in the house to watch YouTube with them. Candace walked Summer about halfway to the house, and this is another conflicting account. Some of them said that she walked her halfway and watched her walk the rest of the way. Some said that she stayed in the camper as Summer just walked to the house. She didn't watch her at all. But from everything that I could find, she at least made it to the house. The brothers did see her make it to the house. So yeah. she at least made it to the house. Supposedly Candace could see the boys sitting at the kitchen table through the window. She hollered at the boys, "Hey, keep an eye on Summer. I'm going to finish up helping Grandma with her knee brace and she'll be right back." So Candace went back to the camper for just a few minutes before returning home. When she returned home, she didn't see Summer, so she asked the boys, "Where is she?" They told her she's in the basement playing with some of her toys. Summer's room that she shared with her parents, again, was located in the basement, so it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Candace went to the basement and called for her daughter, but Summer didn't answer, which is not like Summer. She would normally answer pretty quickly. Candace went down to the basement to actually put her eyes on her since she wasn't answering, but when she made it downstairs, Summer was not down there and the back door that led outside was unlocked. Now, it was unlocked, but not open. I did want to say that. It was unlocked, but the door, because it was like a door that led outside, almost like Addie's door. So it led outside, but it was part of the house.
So is it mentioned that it's locked because she knew, like, she had locked it before they got back home?
It didn't say anything like that. It just said it was unlocked. It was noted that it was unlocked. And I don't know if they normally kept that door locked. That I'm not sure. Yeah, that's
what I was wondering. Break.
I'm fixing to have to switch my drink out. I have, like, one left.
I hate when it spits in your throat. You're like...
That's what she said.
It burns.
Keeping that in. Now, since Summer didn't answer her mom when she went downstairs, she started to panic. She and the boys began searching everywhere for her, and they could not locate her. Candace called Don, since he was at work, to tell him what's going on.
And Don is the dad, right?
Don's the dad.
Okay.
He told Candace to call 911, and at about 6:30, she made the call. Police started the investigation immediately and called in reinforcement with TBI, which is Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, and the FBI.
So what time did she call Dawn if she made the call to the police at 6:30?
It didn't say what time she made it, but it was right before 6:30.
Evidence.
I'm sure they have that, but because they could probably look at call logs.
Yeah.
And maybe I did read it. I just didn't put it down, okay?
I'm just wondering, because, like, sometimes in cases, that's how the parents get caught.
They wait so long. Yes. Yeah.
But at least, like, this day, we know she was posting her.
It seemed pretty quick that she called Dawn, and then she called. Because, I mean, I can imagine doing the same thing. Not knowing where your kid is terrifying. And 99% of the time, you find them hiding somewhere and being little jerks and You find them and you're just like, okay, thanks for scaring 10 years off my life. My kids have done that to me many times. Like, one time we were playing hide and seek at my grandmother's house in Oklahoma. And the kids were playing. May was hiding. And they were like, we can't find May. We can't find May. And I started searching for this little shit and could not find May. Could not find May. We looked outside. And I'm sitting there thinking, somebody stole my child. Here we are in Oklahoma visiting her family. Girl, she was hiding under the bed. And I even looked under the bed, but it was so dark and hard to see that when I looked under it, she was like up against the wall, so I couldn't see her. And it wasn't till like a few minutes later when my cousin went and looked for her, and I just wanted to shake her.
You scared me to death.
Exactly. It was terrifying. Police started the investigation immediately and called in reinforcement, TBI, FBI. Just after 9 o'clock, the FBI released an endangered child alert since it had been a few hours since she was last seen. It was hot that day, and it was starting to get dark out. It had her description listed as 3 feet tall, 40 pounds, and she had a shaved head with blonde hair, blue eyes. Last seen wearing a pink shirt, gray pants, and barefoot.
See, at least the police were on it.
They were on it on this case. And they literally go above and beyond searching this case. And I'll kind of go into detail about that. You hear so many cases where they don't do that. But mm-hmm. they went above and beyond on this one.
Good for them.
Good for them. This was sent out to the public in hopes that someone nearby had seen or found her. All roads were blocked off in the area that she went missing. Searches started on foot, by helicopter. I mean, anything and everything that was available, they used it to their advantage.
Period.
Two churches were set up as a command center. There was one 2 miles east of the house and another that was 2 miles west of the house. More than 100 people were helping search for Summer. And very quickly in the search, they realized that communication was going to be a challenge due to the cell and radio signals being very weak in the area. So Verizon and AT&T stepped in, and they actually brought service boosters to the command centers to help offset the weak signal.
Period. Yes. Shout out to the phone companies, too. That's right.
The search went into the following day and night. They received more than 30 tips from the public. However, no trace of Summer was found. They ended up bringing in canines to search the area around the home. They did end up tracking Summer's scent. It went down a dog path that was on the property, but then the scent trail ended without providing any other evidence, which I didn't see. Like, did it end at a road? Did it end? It didn't really say where.
Makes it seem like she was picked up.
Yeah, why did it just end?
Yeah.
Why did it just end? They also said that Summer's parents were cooperating with the police. There were no suspects at the time and nothing to show that foul play was involved. They asked the public to check their security cameras in hopes that they might have caught something. They also asked everyone to check their own outside buildings, but to stay out of the area where she went missing. So just hoping that she maybe wandered off and was hiding out somewhere, scared, but no such luck. The terrain in the area was very treacherous. Some search parties even scaled down mountains trying to find her. They set up a grid system to make sure that they were covering every inch of the area. It would take them an average of 2 to 3 hours to search a 1 mile area. It's crazy.
And how many miles did they cover?
I think I may talk about it later down. I'm not sure. They would stop after every few steps just to listen to their surroundings and basically look all over just in hopes that they would see a glimpse of something. Law enforcement said at this time they had no reason to believe it was an abduction. By this point, more than 50 tips had been investigated. But of course, they were all dead ends. One reporter asked about Summer's father, Don, and if his criminal record had any relevance to the case. The sheriff responded that everything has relevance to this case. So, of course, this started a media frenzy. Everyone started digging into his past. His arrest history looked to mainly be theft and controlled substances. As recent as October 14th of 2020, about 8 months before Summer went missing, Candace had called and reported domestic assault. During the incident, both Dawn and Candace were accusing each other of cheating, and the argument turned physical. Which I did see another source that said that it wasn't just them arguing. Supposedly, Dawn came home, and she had another man in her bed. But to me, if that would have happened, wouldn't that man have been there when the police showed up? But there's no other mention of another man. So I think it was just them arguing back and forth. I don't think there was an actual man found in her bed. During the incident, both Dawn and Candace were accusing each other of cheating, and the argument turned physical. When the police arrived on scene, Dawn was drunk and driving his pickup in their driveway with a pistol in the glove box. With him already being a felon, that was a big no-no. Oh no, girl. Candace said that when he drinks, he throws things, and she was afraid of getting hurt. She also said that he was mentally and physically abusive towards her. She was afraid for her children and herself. Candace's mother ended up filing a protection order against him at about the same time. And about a week later, Candace went before a judge and the DA and asked for them to drop the charges. She said she didn't get hurt. Dawn had not hurt anyone. They ended up dropping the domestic violence charges, but he was charged for the gun that he had in his possession when the police showed up. But, and again with this, I think the statistics say it takes someone an average of 7 times to leave an abuser before they officially leave them, which is heartbreaking. You know, in this case, is he really abusive? Is that really what's going on? Was she just scared and not ready to move forward? Or was it just a drunken night? I don't know.
And that's crazy, too. Like, you hear about it all the time. Like, in the podcast I listen to, people just constantly are going back to their abuser.
Yeah. That's why I told you. I'm not going to say who, but that one relationship, I was like, that's a red flag, Tori. That's a red flag, Tori. That's a red flag, Tori. Did Tori pay attention to those red flags? No. But she learned.
I learned.
She learned. Quickly. She learned very quickly, and we took care of it.
Yeah.
Just another tidbit of information that does frequently come up is that Dawn's son is also a registered sex offender. His 34-year-old son, who is also named Donald or Don, was charged with indecency with a child at the age of 19. The son was arrested in Arkansas in 2007 for sexual indecency with a child. Don Sr. claimed that if it had occurred in Tennessee rather than Arkansas, his son would have only been charged with statutory rape due to his son being 19. And the victim, who was allegedly Don Jr.'s girlfriend, was 18. Which, if that's truly the case, that sucks. Yeah. That really sucks. But you just never know. Was it really his girlfriend? Was she really 18? Like, it's just
kind of... There's a lot of missing facts there to even...
Yeah. Yeah. It was determined that his son was not in the state at the time of Summer's disappearance. However, there was another sex offender that only lived 2 miles from the Wells' home. Which, have you ever looked at where you live, at the sex offenders that live around you?
No.
Girl, it's terrifying.
I don't know if I want to.
It is terrifying. Like, at our old house, when I looked it up, I was just like, oh.
Stay inside.
Yeah, no more going outside. It's terrifying.
Because I live in an apartment. No telling what's going to pop up.
I think one of the websites you can use is called Watchdog or something like that. It's completely free to use, but it will literally show you any sex offenders that live in your area.
We should look it up for over here.
No. Luckily, we live out in the middle of nowhere.
Literally.
But you never know. You never know. He was arrested in March of 2016 for... images of, this is the guy that lived 2 miles away. He was arrested in March 2016 for images of children that were found on a thumb drive, and the police were contacted. So I guess somebody found the thumb drive and then turned it into the police.
So this is a bad guy.
This is a bad guy.
He deserved that.
They said they explored that possibility, but nothing was found. The TBI reported that about 40 agencies had been assisting in the search, and more than 100 agencies had contributed resources. In about 3 days, over 1,000 acres had been searched, and 85 leads had been followed. So you asked how many miles or whatever. So
you said
1,000 acres.
Earlier, it took them about 3.5 hours to search 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3 times 1,000.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I have more, what's the word? Statistics. Numbers. Okay. They were still no closer to finding Summer. The public wanted answers to what happened to this little girl. And with the agencies not turning up any major leads, rumors and speculation started to escalate even more. Everyone began picking apart the family's home, their financial status, Dawn's criminal history, and even how Summer looked.
What?
The TBI had to send out a request to the public to only contact them with credible tips. The speculation and rumors could cause them to waste time and effort on rumors when they could be using those resources on credible leads.
Which I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Because you got to think, as the police, any lead they get or any tip they get, they have to investigate. Because once they take it to court, the defendant can, if they don't research every single one, the defendant can be like, well, they didn't check that one. So that could be your guy. So why are you coming after me? So they have to literally check every single tip.
Which is probably exhausting. That's why a lot of people shouldn't be sending in police tips if it's not an actual tip.
Because you get those weirdos too. There's like, oh, my ex-boyfriend, da 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 da, and it's just them being mad. It's like, why are you doing that? You're just wasting their time. Father's Day was the following weekend after Summer's disappearance. Don had said that all he wanted for Father's Day was to have Summer back, which, honestly, I don't know how I feel about this case. I don't know if the parents had anything to do with it. It's one of those that I honestly don't know. If he didn't have anything to do with it, my heart breaks for them. Absolutely.
So many people speculated that they did have something to do with it.
Yes. But then again, if they did, it's like, okay, well, you did it. So, so it's very conflicting.
And it's like, no one can ever know but them. No one knows what really happened but them.
And it's, there's just so many strange things that it's just kind of like, well, why did you do that? Or why did you say that? But then again, you don't know how you're going to react in that situation. I probably wouldn't be intelligently speaking on things. And it's very, very conflicting. The family was having a really hard time with her disappearance. The boys were fighting more than normal. The search was still going on. They normally would only search from 8 to 8, but helicopters would be searching in the night and early morning hours. And again, this is another one where I'm just like, if they didn't have anything to do with this, and this reporter, I'll fix and tell you what this reporter asked, how dare you? How dare you ask a father who just lost his child this? The reporter even asked Don if he thought that Summer was still alive. Don replied that he really didn't know. Hopefully, yes. Depending on how bad or what's going on with her, there's always hope. Of course, everything the family said would be flipped on them and then scrutinized. So, again, you just never know how you're going to respond in that type of situation. Eventually, other state agencies came to help in the search for Summer. They were still unable to locate any evidence. Law enforcement was desperate, and they asked the public for help again to search her properties. Maybe she wandered off and got lost. Like, they're just hoping for anything at this point. Law enforcement was reporting that they still have no evidence that it was an abduction, but nothing had been ruled out at this point. By day 7, 221 leads had been investigated with zero results. Summer seemed to have just vanished into thin air. Law enforcement were doing everything they could. They even set up a roadblock on June 23rd, about the same time of day that Summer went missing, just to talk to people and go through their area in hopes that maybe somebody had seen something that they hadn't talked to yet. They were literally leaving no stone unturned. Don made a statement that day that Candace, her mother, and himself had all taken a lie detector test and passed. The boys had also been questioned. The TBI declined to comment on the statement, which again, if it's one way or another, why didn't they just confirm or debunk that claim? Why didn't they just tell the public, they took a lie detector test and they passed, or no, they
didn't? Why did they have to come out and say that they did it?
Yeah. They did say that normally in cases like this, they at least have a lead that helps point them in the right direction when a child goes missing, but they have absolutely nothing to go on in Summer's case. They knew the lack of answers were very frustrating to the public and their family, but assured everybody nobody was more frustrated than what they were. The case was still very active, and they were going to keep searching for Summer. The sheriff also made a statement about the speculation that was going around on social media. He said that social media detectives were absolutely useless unless they find Summer. They would be hard-pressed to find someone that they hadn't already spoken to.
And at that point, it's kind of like, you know how you could get in trouble for calling the police when it's like, in a real emergency? Yeah. Why are these people tipping the police off so much knowing that?
Just causing confusion. Yeah. And this is a little girl. A little girl is missing.
You just can't do that. Like, at that point, you need to let the police do their, the detectives do their job.
And that way the real leads and
will actually pop up. But that just is insane to me.
At this point, a total of 106 agencies had come together to investigate and were doing everything they could to find Summer. They even offered to search people's properties if they couldn't search it themselves, like the elderly, or if they weren't capable. They were like, we'll come search it. Let us come look. This is one of those cases where it seems like law enforcement did everything they could. Some cases you hear about law enforcement not taking things seriously or investigating like they should, or maybe even doing bare minimum. That is not the case here. They jumped in head first from the beginning. By June 26, 1000... I'm editing that out, but I just burned. By June 26, 1,150 searchers and 13,800 man hours had been logged in just 11 days. The tip count had gone up to 290.
See, again with these internet trolls.
It's crazy. Still, no sign of Summer or what might have happened to her. After scanning all CCTV footage, talking to witnesses, trail cams, ring footage, they said they have been able to rule everything out except for a driver of a red or maroon pickup truck. Someone had claimed to see the truck in the area. They were unsure if they saw it that day before or the day of Summer's disappearance. So they couldn't remember if it was the day of or the day before, but they remember seeing a maroon truck. They didn't have a license plate number, but they thought it to be a Toyota Tacoma between the years of 1998 to 2000. It had been a full bed with a ladder rack, and it had some white buckets in the back of it. They put the description out to the public in hopes that somebody would recognize it, or possibly even the owner of the truck would come forward and talk to law enforcement. They stressed that they were not a person of interest. They just simply wanted to talk to them and see what they might have seen that day. However, the public heard what they wanted to hear, and the rumors started to swirl about who was driving this truck and how they were connected to the case. There have been many other cases where they have been helpful, but this was just not the case here. Law enforcement began to worry about all the public scrutiny about this red truck, and at this point, who would come forward and admit, yeah, I seen something or I was there, because they're being plastered all over the internet saying they had something to do with this little girl's disappearance.
Yeah.
Days passed by, no one came forward. By June 29th, they are now up to 560 tips. Dawn had made a statement that he believed that Summer had been abducted. She knew better than to go out on her own since there were bears in the area. They didn't recognize the truck that was in question, but asked the driver, please come forward. They then pleaded with whoever may have her to just let her go. Have mercy. Do not hurt her. Which, again, if they didn't have anything to do with her disappearance, heart-wrenching. Yeah. Absolutely heart-wrenching.
But it's just weird. People are pinning it out to be the parents, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And all of these circumstances, nothing has really caught my eye in suspicion.
Yeah, I think it's just the unknown. I think somebody wants to blame somebody, and it's easier to blame the parents. Like, you're poor, your child's head was shaved, and you have a rough past, so obviously it's you, and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
July came around and they still had not found Summer. More than 750 tips had come through. Law enforcement came forward again asking for credible tips only. The number of false tips that were provided only due to speculation and rumors were not helping the investigation and making it more difficult. On July 7th, a prayer circle was organized, and heartbreakingly, the only ones in attendance was Summer's family, one family friend, and they planned another prayer circle, and this time 25 people were attending. So the internet is so concerned about who did this, but then they're having a prayer circle for this poor little girl, and nobody shows.
No one's there.
So you just want to be a keyboard warrior, but show up for support for this little girl, and nobody shows. One of Summer's brothers led a balloon release. Just a few days later, rumors started to swirl again. This time, saying that there was a suspect in the case. The sheriff reported it was not true, and July 15th, there were over 1,000 tips. Later, Dawn made another statement saying, "The negativity on social media, the attacks on my family, the misinformation being circulated are not helping to find Summer."
And why did the sheriff want to comment on it now?
Yeah. This is Dawn. This is Dawn saying it. The dad.
No, I know, but the sheriff came forward.
Oh, before saying, yeah. I think they were kind of telling that. Why that instance? Why not about the surveillance? Or not? Why not about this that you found out? Why is it just about the rumors? Like, I don't know. And I know they have to keep things close to the vest to help solve it and to be able to charge somebody, but I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
People on social media are adding to the pain that the family's going through. It's affecting my other children who are already hurting. Now it's escalating to threats and potentially putting my other children in danger. All of this adding to the workload for detectives and distracting from the real goal of finding Summer. Even other people that were in Summer's life were being scrutinized when they would be interviewed. They would point out what they said, how they said it, and it was being used against them. Like, there was one where there was, like, her Sunday school teacher, and she kind of commented on it, and people were like, oh, she did it. She has something to do with it. And it's just like, come on.
Just like, it's ridiculous.
It's very ridiculous.
And it's so sad that, like, people are just doing this to get a thrill out of it when there's a little girl's life at stake. Like,
yeah, just
all these missed tips that aren't even real. Like, you're altercating the investigation because of that. Altering.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Candace even pleaded in an interview for abductors to just bring her back. She also made a comment that she hadn't spoke to the police in 2 weeks and they had not provided her with any updates. She also said that TBI had said they didn't think Summer had been abducted. On July 23rd, Summer's three brothers were removed from the family home. Dawn claimed it was due to the home no longer being safe for the children due to trespassers coming into the property. According to Dawn, amateur crime solvers and even psychics were approaching the home, and threats were still coming in over social media. So there was one psychic that just kept on reaching out to the family saying, I know what happened. I know where she's at. I know, like, basically harassing this family and just kept contacting them and trying to approach the property, which is wild.
That's a police matter.
There was an interview later on that Dawn mentioned that due to the stress of the situation, he began drinking again. And then, of course, you'd look at the conditions of the house, him drinking again, strangers approaching the property. I could see why the kids were removed for safety reasons. On August 11th, the sheriff made another announcement that the investigation was still ongoing and not going cold. Once again, he had to comment on the social media speculation and that calls were still coming in and they were being flooded with emails about untrue statements. He said that if it did not come from him, then it just wasn't true. The TBI even had to make a statement due to a rumor swirling that they had located that red truck. They hadn't at this point, and they didn't want people not looking for it, thinking it had been found.
Yeah, see, they're just messing up the whole investigation.
Yeah. Summer's still missing. The truck was never found. The family struggled since Summer did go missing, and on October 29th, 2021, Dawn was arrested again for driving under the influence, open container, violation of financial responsibility, expired registration, improper lane usage, and no insurance. They nailed him. He was held on a $5,750 bond and then released on October 31st. November of 2021, Candace and Dawn went onto the Dr. Phil show. When they asked her if she had anything to do with Summer's disappearance, she just got up and left the show. She said, quote, "Now this is something that no one else knows. I was clearly told before ever agreeing to go to California that if anyone started to interrogate me on the trip or any media at any time, I was to either go quiet, or walk away. But then again, isn't that kind of why you're going on the Dr. Phil yeah. show? It's an interview, like basically an unofficial interrogation. What else
would you be there for?
Yeah, that's just kind of weird. A little weird, but whatever. Two body language experts reviewed the interview with the Dr. Phil show. They said that Dawn and Candace displayed guilty body language. When they asked what Candace thought should happen to the person that took Summer, Candace closed her eyes and she paused. Body language experts said that that was a classic example of blocking or escaping. They were then asked about a cornbread mafia theory, which is kind of like a, basically like old farm boys growing weed, basically kind of like a organized crime with a bunch of country boys. That is when she started breaking down and crying. Dawn then tried to answer the question, but that is when Candace tried removing the mics and said, "Get these wires off of me." She said, "I want out. I am being interrogated again." And that's when she left the show. The body language expert said that was a sign of insinuating and running. Obviously, none of this means they're guilty. But again, you never know what you'll do in that situation. It's kind of odd behavior.
Especially because, like, I'm sure she went on the show to talk about it, to raise awareness.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why she's going. But then when they ask the hard questions, she's out. But then again, if you're a mom and your child's missing and you have nothing to do with it, yeah, that's going to hurt. But then you would think, as her mother, you're going to answer those questions to get the information out there.
Yeah.
It's just weird. On June 12, 2025, nearly 4 years since Summer went missing, her family expressed they were enduring hope, describing the past years as a nightmare, yet still trusting in a resolution. They are still asking for any credible information. You can call 1-800-TBI-FIND. As of today, Summer would be 9 years old. There is an award of $83,700 for any information on her case that leads to her discovery. Hawkins County authorities reaffirmed that the investigation remains active and they continue to evaluate tips and work diligently to follow up on any credible leads. So that is the rough story of Summer Wells. And again, it's so recent and she was just a baby. Where did she go? If the parents did have something to do with her, where is she at?
Yeah, well, did the police search
the I'm lake? Sure they did. Or, yeah, that's...
Or the pond that they
were yeah, in? Yeah, but they were at, or, you know, I don't know.
Did the police interrogate the 14-year-old?
And to me, it's just weird that the dogs picked up a scent and then it just stopped. Well, why did it just stop? Where did she go? I think that's
what... Was it by sewage? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where did yeah. she go? You can't just vanish in air.
Yeah. That scares the crap out of me. I cannot imagine. Like I said, my kids have scared the crap out of me many a times. It literally just takes 2 seconds to take your eyes off your child and something to happen. And that's... I think that's my biggest fear. So... Where is Summer? I hope they get answers. I hope.
She did too.
I hope if the family didn't have anything to do with it, I hope they get answers and they're able to be cleared. And then if they did have something to do with it, I hope they have to answer for what they did. And I hope we have answers on what happened to her.
Me too.
It's very heartbreaking.
It is very heartbreaking. That's so sad.
Yeah.
And she would have been like a year younger than Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just a year younger.
That's horrible.
I know. So, that's the really sad story. I hope you guys stuck around. Now that the mood got brought down.
Yeah.
Now we can switch it up.
Yeah.
I guess I'll kind of tell you. So, Josh and I are working on a case. It is going to be an alien. Which, it has been spooky. So spooky. And then Seth is bringing his case, and it's more of, like, lore and urban legends, and it's going to be good. Like I said, he wrote it up this time, so I get to listen this time. I'm excited.
Yeah, be a pretty fun.
So I guess that's it for tonight. Cross our fingers that the video and sound worked, since... Bad luck juju over here, yeah. So I guess that's it. So I guess until next week... Light a candle.
Grab a blanket.
Keep your alibis tight.
And get ready for fall.
It's almost there. We've seen candy corn in the store.
It's almost there, y'all.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.